Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:18, and that is Pacific Summer Time, and it is July 20th. Today was a generally very positive day on stock markets, with the majority up in excess of 1%, in Europe at least, where the FTSE lagged a little. It was only up about 0.5%, and part of the reason for that is because the pound was up almost a full cent. It's trading at 1.32 right now. So that's countermanding that dumber dynamic that we saw yesterday. And that's also indicative of continued appetite for what might be considered risk assets. So when we take a look around the world, then what we are seeing is something of a risk-on rally. And despite the fact that we have some short-term overbought conditions developing on some of the outperforming markets, what we also have evidence of is of an increasing number of markets breaking out to new all-time highs, at least in nominal terms. And I've posted a number of those, particularly the higher yielding markets, in comment of the day today. But to just list some of those, obviously the Dow Jones and the S&P are continuing to extend their breakouts, and this has been consecutive days on the upside, and they're just slowly but surely pegging on additional advances. So the S&P was up about 0.43%, and the Dow was up 36 points, which was less than 0.2%, but up on the day nonetheless. Then when we take a broad spectrum look at markets, then the Mexican market, which has really been off the radar for much of the last 3 years because it's been going sideways and the peso has been going downwards, well, that broke out to new all-time highs today. The Argentine market, in nominal terms again, is breaking out, but of course this time it's because of, I guess, optimism that governance is improving, that there is at least some foundation to the level at which the currency is trading, and that there is the potential for governance to improve. So not only is it breaking out nominal terms, but also that the U.S. listed ETF has rallied pretty impressively from the lower side of a 3 to 4 year range to the upper side of that range since late last year. Then the Indonesian market has not quite broken out yet, but it is rallying up towards those highs that we saw last year. There are a number of markets in Eastern Europe, not least in the Baltics, where you have the Estonian, the Latvian, and the Lithuanian markets have been pressuring their respective highs. And the Bulgarian market broke out of its range in here today. That's not a new all-time high, but it is breaking out to new recovery highs. So what we are seeing is that it is, by and large, it is either those assets that have the potential to deliver a higher yield, and certainly that is the case in Latin America, where you have not just higher yields, but very wide yield differentials. For example, the Brazilian overnight rate is like 14%. The Argentine rate is in the 20%. So obviously, that is a rather extraordinary circumstance. But then you have like 4% in Colombia, or even in Indonesia, where it's give or take around 6%. So there is the potential to capture yield in these markets. That is likely to result in some compression in those yields by foreign investors as they move into those markets, which could then translate to higher valuations on their respective stock markets. So when we look at the dollar index, which had that failed downside break earlier this year and continues to trade back up towards the upper side of that range, and that really is a rule of thumb from the chart seminar, that when the dynamic of the failure is greater than the dynamic of the breakdown, that you are more likely than not to go right up and test the upper side of the range. Well, the dollar index is a pretty good example of that right now. And the index right now is trading at 97, and the upper side of that range is around 100. Of course, it is worth considering that that is primarily euro, followed by yen and pound. And those three currencies represent upwards of 80% of the index. So then could we say that this is more of their respective weakness rather than any particular dollar strength, not least when the Fed has rather demurred from raising interest rates and would be probably under pressure not to do so for the rest of the year, not least because it is an election year, then we have to look at the individual merits of respective currencies, and those wide interest rate differentials favor some of those emerging markets where they exist. Obviously, not every emerging market has got those wide interest rate differentials, and obviously some countries need a weaker currency more than others. But what is by and large the case is that we've seen significant currency depreciation right across the emerging market sector. So there is potential for at least an unwinding of some of that as the conditions prove not to be quite as dire as people might have anticipated even just six or seven months ago. I think markets are also pricing in the fact that dear old Albion isn't about to sink under the waves, but rather that the UK is in rather a favourable position overall, in that it will be able to chart its own course. So then there is potential for the pound to continue to rally from these levels. Now, if, of course, people are into a risk-on phase, then there is the potential that the risk-off type assets then could pull back additionally. So obviously the yen is certainly among those, and it's currently trading at 106.84. It was up about three quarters of a full almost three quarters of a full yen in here today. But the dollar is now testing its progression of lower rally highs. So it's looking increasingly likely that this isn't just a low of near-term significance, but potentially a low of medium-term significance for the dollar against the yen. And the Nikkei has was down ever so slightly in here today, but having rallied from 15,000 up to 16,600, almost 700, then it's a little bit overbought as it tests the region of the moving average. And if we can see this index above 17,500, then that would break that progression of of lower rally highs over the much of the last year, and would likely indicate that the bulls are back in charge, at least in Japan. Another index that has moved to a new recovery high in here is Australia. And of course, that is being led higher by the mining sector. When we look at the precious metals, then they had obviously rallied rather impressively with that risk-off attitude, and have come under a little bit of pressure in here today, with gold down $17, and even down $17, that's only a little bit more than 1%. And this continues to look like what has so far been a relatively measured reversion back towards the mean. Silver is quite a bit more overextended relative to the EMA than gold is, and had paused in that $20 area and was down 58 cents in here today. So that is perhaps the largest pullback that we've seen within this consolidation, which has been held almost through to the end of the session. And there is the potential that silver will experience some additional pullback. And personally, since I sold my silver a couple of weeks ago, I'm rather hoping for that so that I might get a chance to buy it again. I was shaken out of my platinum in here today, which did not sustain its intraday decline, and only finished down on the day $7, excuse me. But there is also the potential here that platinum is going to experience a somewhat larger pullback, which would allow it to unwind that overbought condition. And palladium has been rather the exception. It was up almost $16 in here today, but that really is now forming an overbought condition in the short term. So I've introduced a stop on my remaining position in the precious metals, which was in palladium, I'd be taken out, I think, on the first clear downward dynamic. And of course, When we look at the industrial metals sector, then there is relative strength there, and that might be symptomatic of why palladium is doing that bit better. And but what we have seen is that there have been some pretty aggressive pullbacks in some of the commodities, and not least in cotton, but also in the grains and beans, which moved to new lows in here today. Then zinc continues to recover. Palladium is obviously doing rather well, and copper is really quite steady in here. So then there is the potential that we're going to see these commodities trading more on their individual merits rather than as a group overall. But by and large, what we can conclude is that with the overbought condition in the yen, in the precious metals, and in bonds now being corrected, then there is the potential for the oversold conditions and in some of those stock markets to continue to be unwound, and for the breakouts where they're occurring to persist. Then, of course, we'll be presented with the question whether those breakouts are going to be sustained. But I think we're a bit early for that just yet because we've really only just broken out, and we would anticipate that short-term overbought conditions would develop following a major breakout from what have been relatively lengthy ranges. Clear downward dynamics would really be required to question the impetus of these breakouts. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.